1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Let us now hear the inspired word of the living God. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And as we prayed this morning, we long for your commandments. We desire your word. You have placed that desire in our hearts. You have made us hungry for the manna of the Word of God. We know that we did not manufacture that desire on our own, but it was a gift from you. For there was a time, Lord, when we hungered for other things. We thirsted for other things, but you have made us thirsty for the living water. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you might increase that longing, that desire for your truth. And we pray you would bless this study tonight to that end. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In 1996, after I graduated from boot camp, one of the places that we went after that, after boot camp, was to some additional training. And one of those places where we went was Camp Devil Dog. And Camp Devil Dog was a place of training. And so we went there for some additional training, and at one point in my experience there, we had to go on a fairly long march, and before we did that, we were working with weapons in the field, and there was a fairly large gun that we had to break down, and we had to carry that gun to the campsite. And so they took one of the skinniest guys in the entire group, which is yours truly, and they gave me the barrel to carry. So they gave me the barrel of the M249 to carry, and it was pretty heavy, and I was pretty slight. And it was heavy at first, but the longer the hike went, the heavier that barrel got, until we got close to the end, and there weren't too many times when I was ready to say, I quit, I can't go any further. And I was really close. I was that close. If we hadn't come around the bend and I hadn't seen the campsite in view, I might have dropped that thing on the ground. You can, dishonorably discharge me. I don't care what you do. I can't carry this burden any longer. It was a burden, a great burden to carry. Now, our worries in life, our anxieties, can be like that gun barrel. Very heavy. And what do we do with them? We often carry them. We put them on our backs and we carry them. And they weigh us down and we are burdened by those cares, by those things that we are anxious over, those things that we are concerned about. And we carry those things around with us and they weigh us down. 1 Peter 5:7 has good news for you, my worrying brother, my worrying sister. And it is that God does not want you to carry those things. He wants you to take those burdens of anxiety and worry, and he wants you to throw them on him. This is what we want to think tonight here about in 1 Peter 5:7. We're going to look at this in two basic ways. First of all, the task is in the first half of the verse, casting all your care upon him. That is what we are to do. And then secondly, the reason. Why should we do it? The answer is in the second half of the verse, for he cares for you. We are to cast our burdens of anxiety on the Lord because he loves us. In our last study, we focused on verses 5 and 6 here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we talked about being clothed with humility. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. We talked about humility, the virtue of Christian humility, and how it is commanded of us to put it on like a garment, to wrap ourselves in it. Why should we do that? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He is opposed, he is against those. He is on the opposite team, we might say, of those who are proud. But those who are humble, God grants his free and gracious favor to. In light of that, verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You are to put yourself under the hand of the Almighty. Take that humble, that low position, knowing that he will exalt you at the right time. The time for exaltation will come. You're not to take the chief seat at the party now. You're to take the low seat. And when the right time comes, the Lord will come and say, come, I'm going to take you up higher. So we talked in verses 5 and 6 about pride versus humility and how the Lord calls us to cultivate that virtue of humility. Now, I left verse 7 out, and there's an unfortunate aspect to me doing that, and I'll admit it, and that is that you might think verse 7 is something completely disconnected from verses 5 and 6, like Peter has now suddenly shifted to a brand new topic. But if you read the passage in its context, you'll see how it all flows together. So verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we do that? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So you see how verse 7 and verse 6 go together. Verse 7 is an explanation of how you go about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You do that by throwing your anxieties and your concerns upon the Lord himself. So there's a connection between humility and worry, or humility and not worrying, we might say. There's a connection between pride and worry. We'll return to that a little bit later, but I just want you initially to see the flow of thought here, you know, between verses 5, 6, and 7. Now, what is it that Peter tells us to do to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? He tells us to cast all our care upon him. Let's begin with that word care. What does that mean? In the Greek language, it's merimna, which means anxiety, worry, or as it's translated here, care. Now, this is a fairly rare word in the Greek New Testament, but one of the places it is found is in Jesus' parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares, merimna, of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What are those cares? It's all the everyday concerns of life that consume people and take people away and distract them from the word of God, from the gospel. So when Peter speaks of care, he's talking about concerns, anxieties, worries, things like that. Now, the word can be used in a positive sense to speak of concern. So, for example, 2 Corinthians 11:28 says, besides other things, the other things, Paul says, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern, merimna, for all the churches. So there Paul is talking about how concerned he is, the concern he has for the people of God, for the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our text here, I don't believe we have to choose between the various uses of this word. Concern, care, worry, anxiety, all of that is included. Everything that you could be concerned about and you could potentially be anxious over, you are to cast upon the Lord. You are to put upon him. Now, here we see the Apostle Peter reflecting the teaching of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us not to worry, right? Remember that? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So you see the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ there concerning worry, anxiety, and the Apostle Peter here deals with it as well. Now, what kind of worries might Peter be thinking of in relation to his original audience? Now, Peter's writing, as you know, to Christians who were scattered over a large region, a large area. What kind of things might they be worried about? Well, generally speaking, they're worried about the kinds of things we're worried about, the kinds of things that we tend to get anxious over. But if you think about Peter's original audience, think about where they are. They are in a place where they have been, kind of pushed into a corner societally. They are being looked down on. People are talking bad about them, viewing them as strange and even offensive. And so this might bring some of them into a very low condition. It might endanger their livelihoods, might endanger their ability to make money, feed their families, do that sort of thing. They might be in a very low position indeed that could make things very hard for them. And certainly they could worry about that, right? Don't we worry about that? I mean, we're worried about food prices at the grocery store. We're concerned about that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about that, but it's one thing to worry about the price of bread going from $5 to $10. It's another thing to worry about whether I'm going to have any bread, whether I'm going to have anything to feed myself or my family. In addition, there's a concern here, a potential worry about persecution. As I just touched upon, Peter's original audience here is already, most likely, already being persecuted, or if they are not, it is right there on the horizon. It is right there around the corner. And we've seen this over and over again in 1 Peter, right? For example, 1 Peter chapter 4. In regard to these, they, that is the unbelievers, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They talk bad about you. We're here in chapter 5. In our next study, we will go on to talk about the suffering that Christians are experiencing throughout the world. Verse 9 here of chapter 5, resist him, that is the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same what? Sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, could these Christians be worrying about that? Yeah, I think so. I think that's entirely possible, that they could be anxious over what is going to happen to them, be anxious about being rejected by their friends and family, being anxious about potentially losing their jobs and their livelihood if they don't sacrifice to the gods or offer the pinch of incense to Caesar or whatever the case may be. They may be very anxious about being called up before the authorities to be questioned about this religion that they are practicing. Now, our situation may not be exactly the same as these first century Christians, but we share the same humanity and the same basic worries, right? What are you worried about? I'll stop and let you think about that for just a minute. What are you concerned about tonight? What weighs heavy on your heart? What keeps you up at night? What is it that has you so anxious that you cannot find peace? Let us consider some of the things that we tend to worry about. Number one, we worry about the future. Do you ever do that, brethren? Do you ever worry about tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Something bad going to happen to me? Something bad going to happen to my loved ones? Am I going to still have a job? Am I going to face this or face that? What will happen tomorrow? Now, we worry about tomorrow, even though Jesus told us not to do it. Do not worry about tomorrow. But we get all twisted up inside over it, don't we? We worry about what might happen tomorrow. Number two, we worry over our health. Will we continue to have it? Or will good health slip through our fingers? How are we going to pay for medical care? How are we going to meet the rising costs of medicines and surgeries, visits to the doctor, et cetera? Is that a concern of yours? Do you ever worry over that? I think we do. Number three, we worry about money. Now, this is related to the others, of course. Will we have the money to make it? Will we be able to afford necessities? Will we have the money to continue paying the bills? Or will it disappear? Number four, we worry about our families. If you're a parent, you worry about your kids. If you're a grandparent, you worry about your grandkids. You worry about your spouse. You worry about your loved ones, generally. Is something bad going to happen to them? Are they going to lose their health? What might happen tomorrow? Will my loved ones suffer and die? Will my children embrace my faith or reject my faith? Number five, we worry about acceptance. We worry about how we are perceived by other people. We worry about whether we will be accepted by others, whether or not they will treat us badly for our Christian faith. And that, of course, brings us to number six. We can worry about persecution as well. These first century Christians are undoubtedly concerned about that. And I imagine that we're also going to begin to be increasingly worried or have that temptation here in America as hostility to Christianity, hostility to the Bible grows. And it certainly appears to be growing. Now, God may change that. He may bring revival. He may turn things around, and we pray that He does. But if He doesn't and that continues to grow, then we might certainly worry about it. Will we lose our jobs because we're Christians? Will we struggle to survive in post-Christian America? That's a real concern, is it not? It really is. Well, all of these things and more we can worry about. What are you worried about? What is the burden that you are carrying around, that you are anxious over, that the Lord wants you to deal with tonight and in the days ahead? What then are we to do with our cares? Well, of course, Peter tells us here, casting all your care upon Him. What does that mean? Literally, it means we're to throw it upon Him. We're to take those worries, those concerns, and we're to throw them on the Lord. We are to put them upon the God, the same God, under whom we humble ourselves, under His mighty hand. It's the same one that we throw our worries upon. The Greek term that is used here is only used in one other place in the New Testament, and it's used to describe the disciples taking their clothes and throwing them on the back of the donkey so that the donkey can carry Jesus, right? So the disciples go get the donkey for Jesus. They take their clothes and they throw them on the back of the donkey. Jesus rides the donkey then. I hope that gives you a vivid picture. What do you do with all those worries? Well, you do like the disciples did with their clothes. You take those things and you put them on another. Who do you put them on? You put them on the Lord Himself. And we'll come back to that here in just a minute. But notice that Peter specifies that all of our worries are to be thrown upon the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. Not some of them, not those ones you are willing to part with and take off and put on God, but all of them. This is very similar to Philippians 4:6, right? Be anxious for nothing. We're not to worry about anything. There's to be no worry, no anxiety, no concern for the Christian. And so here in 1 Peter 5:7, we're to cast all of our cares upon God. Now, we often don't want to do that. We are happy to not be concerned about certain things, but there are other things that we want to hang on to. No, Lord, I got this one. Right? I'll carry this one. I've got the gun barrel. It is excruciatingly heavy, and I'm struggling with it, but no, God, I don't need any help. I got it. What is that for you? What is it that you don't want to let go and give to God? What is that worry that you hang on to fiercely, that you refuse to relinquish? You don't need me to tell you, or perhaps you do, that worry is a sin. That worry is a lack of trust in God. And God commands that we do none of it. No worries. Now, you might respond to that by saying, that is unrealistic. Right? I'm going to worry. I'm just going to do it. Now, perhaps you wouldn't say that out loud. Perhaps you would not be so bold and blasphemous as to say, God, You gave me a command I'm just not going to follow, period, and I'm not even going to try. But perhaps that's true of us at times. But the Lord wants you to give it all to Him. And He will give you the help you need. He will give you what you need. He will give you the grace of His Holy Spirit so that you can obey verse 7 and cast all your care upon Him. He doesn't expect you to do this in your own strength or power. Have you ever had that worry that just twists you up like a pretzel inside? And it almost has a physical effect on you. And you feel like you couldn't let that thing go. You couldn't relinquish that if God Himself showed up. But by God's grace, you can. He can help you with that. He can take care of that. And we need to give it to Him. Where specifically, again, are we to throw our worries? We are to put them upon Him, casting all your care upon Him. Who's the Him? It's God. It's the Lord. What better place to put it? You can't carry it. You weren't designed to carry all that anxiety and that worry around that burden you down. But God has the power to carry that. He has the strength to carry that. When you were a kid, your mom and dad carried things for you that were too heavy for you, right? There were things you tried to pick up, and your mom or dad said, stop. I got it. I'll take care of that. Why did you do that? Because it was too heavy for them. And you had the strength. You had the strength to pick up that suitcase or that weight or whatever it was. Well, so it is with God. He has the power, the strength to carry these things for us. He is stronger than you. And because of that, He can bear this load. You say, Pastor Nick, I feel bad taking all my worries and flinging them on the Lord. Don't feel bad. He can handle it. You can't. But He can. He can take care of it. So put it upon Him. Now, hopefully the meaning of this text is clear for you. God does not want you to carry the burden of worry and anxiety. He calls on us to let Him carry it. Okay, how do I do it, Pastor Nick? I'm worried. I'm anxious about this, that, or the other thing, and I find myself being anxious regularly about it. What is it I'm supposed to do practically? Now, Peter doesn't specifically address this, but we can turn to Philippians 4, which was read in the scripture reading tonight. Listen to the practical way in which we cast all of our care upon the Lord. Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What is the antidote to worry? It's prayer and thanksgiving. You want to fight against that worry, you're going to have to get on your knees. You're going to have to stop sitting there fretting and chewing nails and being concerned and anxious. And you're going to have to bow your head and talk to God about it. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to bring it to Him. And it is a freeing thing to bring that to God, to go get alone with God, talk to Him about the situation, and say, God, I give this to You. I commit this matter to You. You handle it. You take care of it. And guess what He'll do? He'll take care of it. That's exactly what He does. He takes care of those things. In addition to that, one of the prime ways of combating worry is giving thanks. One of the reasons why we worry and we hang on to it is because we have forgotten to say thank You for all the things that we have. We are often worried about what we don't have. We're often worried about what God did not give us or what God did not do or what God did not promise. And instead, we should thank God for everything He has given, for everything He has promised, for everything He has provided. I often find myself, I will stop when I am discouraged and the Lord reminds me, son, when was the last time you thanked Me? When was the last time you stopped and said, thank You, God? You know that little song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. We should do that regularly to give thanks to God for everything He's provided. That's one of the ways we fight worry. At the beginning of our study of this verse tonight, we noted the connection and the context here between humility and worry. Now we must return to that and ask the question, what does humility have to do with worry? Or what does pride have to do with worry? Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So as we noted at the outset, all of that goes together. Now, initially you might think, it doesn't sound like pride and worry really have anything to do with one another. Is the proud person really the worried person? And so we might not initially think that these things go together, but they do actually. And let me suggest to you one way in which they do. The proud person does not need any help. Right? I got it. The proud person doesn't want to cast his cares on the Lord because he wants to show he's strong enough to carry it. He has the power. He has the might to get it done. And what does that do? It puffs him up with pride that he's able to accomplish this on his own, to get it done on his own. I used to think that way about God. I used to think that I had to show God how good I was. I had to show God that I could do it. I could do it in my own strength, my own power. Just watch, Lord. Just step away and watch me do it. I'll do it. I'll prove it to you. What a foolish way to think, you say. Yes, it was foolish. It was very foolish. Because we can't do it. You can't do it, and I can't do it. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. The branch cannot bear any fruit apart from the vine. It all comes by divine strength and power. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. The sooner you realize just how weak and powerless you really are, just how not in control you really are, the sooner you come to that realization, the more peace, the more tranquility you can have. Because you'll say, God, I can't do it. You've got to do it. Please take care of it. Please help me. That's the humble position. It's the humble man or woman who takes all those burdens and says, God, I can't do it, but I know you can. And so I give it to you. So there's the task. The task is casting all your care upon him, throwing all your worries upon God. What's the reason for doing it? End of the verse. For he cares for you. That's why you're to do it. Notice that little word for. This word could be translated because as well. This word indicates that Peter's now giving us the reason why we should cast our care on the Lord. You should unburden your heart and your mind. Why? Because God cares about you. Now this word care is a different word at the end of the verse. And it's interesting where this word is used. I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations of where this term is used. I mean, its basic meaning is a watchful care of interest and affection, as one person defines it. It's God's love. He loves you. He's concerned for you. He cares about you. That's the basic idea. Let me give you the first illustration here. The disciples in the midst of the storm. The disciples are on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and there's a great storm. And they are worried. They are anxious. And you know what they say to the sleeping Jesus after they wake him up. Teacher, do you not, what? Care that we are perishing. Aren't you concerned, Jesus, that we are all going to die here? We are all going to be swamped in this boat and sink to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, and you're asleep. You're asleep. Don't you care? Well, you know the answer to that, right? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. Jesus isn't worried about that storm. He's the Lord of the storm. He's in charge of the storm. And he shows it when he gets up and he says, peace be still. What about Martha's confrontation of Jesus? Luke chapter 10. You know the story, Mary and Martha. Jesus is there at Mary and Martha's house. Mary is sitting, listening to Jesus. And Martha is a whirling dervish of activity. She's getting it done, man. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." How do you like that? Jesus, this is what you need to do. Well, that's bold. Well, you get a little flavor of that word. With people questioning our Lord about whether he does care, where God does care. Does he care? Does he care about you? Yes, he does. The Bible says he does. And that's why you should give your worries to him. This is one of the reasons why we worry, because we think he doesn't. We think that God doesn't care. And how do we come to that conclusion? The disciples came to that conclusion because they're looking around and the wind and the waves are crazy. Martha comes to that conclusion because she's looking around and nobody's helping her. And she's doing all the work by herself. We do that too. We look around at our circumstances and how things are going, and we are tempted to say, "God, don't you care? Aren't you concerned about what's going on here, about my life?" Now, you know the answer to that, right? You know the answer is yes, he cares. He cares about you. He loves you. What does that mean? That means he's going to provide for you. "My God shall supply all your need through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He's going to take care of every need that you have. And so we should not be worried about whether we will be provided for. We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then we trust him to do it. We trust him to provide for us. We are often concerned about not being taken care of. But this is precisely what God does not want us to be worried about. He will take care of you. Psalm 55:22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Furthermore, you can also see in the word care, God's love, right? He cares for you means he loves you. God loves you. This is another thing that will help us greatly when we are worried, is to remind ourselves that God loves us. Do you ever tell yourself that? You should. You should. You say, "Pastor, I get discouraged. I get down. I get burdened by all these things, these concerns in life." One of the things you need to do is push back that darkness by saying, "God loves me. He cares about me. He has not abandoned me. He loves me with a great love, and I know that." You think on his love, and it will help. It will help lift that. We've got so many people who have turned to so many things to help with this. They're anxious. They're burdened by cares. And where do they go? They go to the psychiatrist. They go to the psychologist and they say, "Help me." And what do? Well, I'll tell you what they don't do. They don't open the Bible and feed you with the Word of God. They don't give you things like this. They'll give you a pill. They've got a pill for everything that ails modern Americans. One of the reasons why we've done that is because we've abandoned this. We don't care about this anymore. We want immediate relief. We want immediate help. We want some medical solution to our problem, when in so many cases the problem is we are not doing what verse 7 says. And we have forgotten that God loves us. So I encourage you, hide this truth in your heart and combat worry with meditation on God's love for you. Say to yourself, preach to yourself. You say, "Pastor, I sure wish I could get up there and preach it. And then I wouldn't have to listen to you all the time." Well, you could be a preacher. Preach to yourself every day. Now, make sure there aren't too many people around before you start doing that. But you do need to preach to yourself. You need to talk to yourself and say, "I need not worry about this. Father, I give it to you. You love me. You have said you care, and so I give it to you. In closing, these are the words of the hymn, Leave It There, by Charles Albert Tindley from the year 1906. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, do not forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He will go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's pray. Oh Lord, what a wonderful word from you through the Apostle Peter. Father, many times we hold on to them. We hang on to our worries, and we are so burdened. We are so weighed down with care. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to actually obey this passage of Scripture and do what you have called upon us to do. Help us to pray. Help us to unburden our hearts and our minds by getting alone with you in our prayer closet and talking to you about it, committing it all into your faithful hands, knowing that you are infinitely stronger than us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember in the midst of troubling circumstances that you care about us, that your love is not absent, that you are not gone, that you are not unconcerned, but you are there and you always care. Help us to remember that. I pray for your people tonight, Lord. I know that for some, this is a tougher thing to do than for others. Some of us, Lord, may be a bit more easygoing. Things don't bother us as much. Others of us, Lord, we can really be crippled by anxiety. So I ask for your people who particularly struggle in this area, and I pray that you would help them. Help them, Father, to relinquish those things and give them to you, to take those burdens and cast them upon your back, that you might carry them for them. Teach them to do it, Lord. Teach them how to do it. Show them practically every day how you want them to go about doing these things. And we will thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave tonight, please receive the Lord's benediction from Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.